Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
As good as dead. That's not a great place to be, as good as dead. I heard one of my friends say on a national telecast about Billy Graham when Billy Graham was still alive. He said he's as good as dead. I didn't think that was something you wanted to say publicly. So don't anybody be saying that about me. As good as dead, that's quite a phrase. That means you're still here, but you have lost all resources and all power and ineffectual. You know, you could be as good as dead because of age. You could be good as dead because of health. You can be financially as good as dead because of bankruptcy. There's just a whole lot of reasons why that phrase could be assigned to you. But it's assigned to Abraham. And we know what Abraham has done. But the thing is, the Bible said he did it when he was as good as dead. In other words, everybody had written him off. Everybody said it's over for him. Everybody was mocking his perceived promise, because Abraham lived by a promise, and that promise was that he was going to have a son. That promise was given to Abraham when he was 75 years of age. It was something then that he would become the father of a son at 75 years of age. But it was less at 76 and 77 and 70 and 80 and 85 and 90. And 95, and 100. Don't you know when he went to the general store to get his Twinkies? And he talked to those guys sitting around playing checkers? And he said, me and Sarah are going to have a baby one of these days. Don't you know when he walked out of that store, they laughed at him? There are people in this building that some of your family and your friends have written you off. And said, it's as good as it's ever going to get for them. Everything's downhill from them. They're never going to get a better job. They're never going to have a better situation. They're never going to have more money. They're never going to be as healthy as they want. They're as good as dead. But we need to understand that Abraham is a type of what we are. The Jewish nation, Israel, exists from a man and woman as good as dead. I want to tell somebody in this building today that the devil has been telling you that you're as good as dead, that the most productive part of your life is still in front of you in Jesus' name. Israel exists from a man that was good as dead, and Christianity sprang from Christ who was dead. Ladies and gentlemen, when Jesus Christ declared, I am the resurrection, that's the most powerful statement that has ever been made. Because when you say, I am the resurrection, it means that which is good as dead can live again. That which seems to be all lost is now available. There was no grace before Christ after he died. There was no righteousness before Christ after he died. The lame slain before the foundation of the world. The reason why Abraham could lay hold on the promise of God at 75 years of age and not turn loose of it for 25 years with all of his friends and family saying he's good as dead, because the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. The power of Christ's resurrection was retrospective. It was not only for the future, it was for the past. Jesus Christ is an amazing Savior. The Bible tells us that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I love that verse. That's Hebrews 13 and 8. But he also says in the book of Revelations 13 and 8, it also says, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's Revelation 13 and 8. I love 13 and 8. It's a powerful thing. It tells me this Lamb was slain. God had a plan from the very beginning. And the devil can't alter God's plan. You are the one that is the decision maker in your life of whether you're going to allow God's promise to come to pass in your life. The devil can't steal the promise of God. The devil for 25 years worked on Abraham and Sarah and said it will never happen. Every time Abraham looked in the mirror, he had to readjust his faith because he was getting older and older and older. And every time Sarah looked at Abraham, she said, there ain't no way. In fact, the Bible said that Sarah laughed. It was so ridiculous that this old woman and this old man would be the progenitor of what God would do and what God would say, and all the future of the earth would depend on them. It was so ridiculous that she laughed. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that God is prepared to do things in your life that are laughable. They are impossible. They are improbable. And if you are to look in the mirror of the flesh and say, it will not happen in this flesh, you've got to rise above that. And the Bible said, and be not weak in faith. Abraham and Sarah were both weak in flesh, but neither was weak in faith. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Everybody said, you're as good as dead. But his faith said, no, I'm not. My best day is yet ahead of me. Don't you know it was something when she went to the doctor and the doctor said, you're expecting and you're 90 years old, Sarah? Don't you know there were some flabbergasted people? There were some shocked people? Do you know that God is able to shock your greatest adversary? That's what it means when he said he's going to prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. All of your enemies are not vocal to your face. All of your enemies are not strangers and anti-Christians. Some of your enemies of your faith is your family and those that know you best. Jesus suffered that. He could do not many miracles. In the land where he was born. A prophet is without honor in his own country. And sometimes it is the closest around you that are telling you you're as good as dead. But ladies and gentlemen, you need to stand strong in your faith and never relent on your testimony. Abraham never quit saying someday, someday, you're 75, you're 80, you're 90, someday we are going to have the promise fulfilled in us. He understood that God was able to fulfill that which he was promised. And God is the very same thing today. If you get sick, your flesh will testify against you. Did you know the Bible said that your own flesh is the enemy of God? That's the reason why it's difficult to have big faith. Big faith. Because your own flesh will tell you, you can't do that anymore. You can't get healed. You can't get well. I love to see God do things that are crazy faith, resurrection faith, good as dead, and suddenly it comes to pass. I had a woman call me one day, and she said, I need to come by and see you. And I said, all right. And so she said, I've got a problem. And so she came by, and she said, you know what happened this morning? I said, no. She said, I have a little girl, and said she went to school, but right after she left, her goldfish died, and she's going to be so brokenhearted. And I thought we could join hands here and pray for that goldfish. Friends, that's nothing but stupid right there. That's just crazy. But she said, would you take my hand? And we prayed. She called me back, and she said, he's swimming around. You say, I don't believe that. Why not believe it? Why not believe that God is so big that he can take a whale to swallow Jonah, or he can cause a little goldfish to swim in a bowl? You said, does God really do that? Oh, yes. When things are good as dead, if you could believe God. I used to raise beef master cows, and they're really good cows. The breed was developed here in Texas, and I had 103 mama cows at my peak, and they were worth about, back in those days, probably $1,500 apiece. And so I had a guy working for me full time. His name was Don Erdman, and Don was from Wisconsin. He was a big Packer fan. He was a retired dairy man, and he moved down here. His wife was a nurse, and He's just a great guy. He was a Baptist. And he wouldn't come to church here because he was a Baptist. And his mother visited him from Wisconsin. And she was watching me on television. She said, "Oh, Don, let's go to church." He said, "Oh, no, I'll work for him, but I'm scared of that guy. I'm not going to that." He was scared to walk into this church building, just scared to death of that. But he was a great guy, and he was a great farmhand. I drove up one day, and Don was sitting there by the fence. And he said, "Steve," he said, "we've got a problem." I said, "What's that?" He said, "One of your best heifers laid down and died back there by the tank." We call them ponds up in the Midwest. We call them tanks here. He said, "It's dead." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Why?" I said, "She's a young heifer. She shouldn't." He said, "I don't know." And he was a real cowman. He knew cows. He said, "She just laid down and died." And I said, "Well, let me go back there and look at her." And so I had a little tractor sitting there, a pretty good sized tractor. I got on that tractor, and I drove back there, and there she lay on the bank of that tank, dead. And I had a chain on my tractor. And I don't know why I did it, Jerome. There's a lot of things I don't know why I do them, but then I know the results of why I do them later. I don't know why I'm doing them while I'm doing them. I just feel that voice, that impulse. And so I worked that chain in under that dead cow, and I took that tractor and hooked it on, and I just tried to pull that cow up. And all of a sudden, that cow jumped up on her feet. That chain fell off. It was that hook just came unhooked, and that cow run as hard as she could about a quarter of a mile to the water tank and start drinking. And Don was sitting right there by the water tank. And I came roaring up on that tractor. He said, "What cow's that?" I said, "The dead one." I said, "Don, that's what would happen if you came to my church." I still couldn't get him here. You say, "Oh, I don't believe in that thing." I believe anything can happen. It might be as good as dead in your life today, but I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is more than able. Your dream might be dead, but it can be resurrected here today. Your relationship with your children might be dead, but it can be resurrected here today. Your marriage might be dead, but it can be resurrected here today. I was preaching in Ohio a good number of years ago. We had a great meeting, had a big tent set up. And as I was praying with people, I came to one man. He was just crying. He said, "Steve," he said, "I've had this relationship with my wife." He said, "We were high school sweethearts." And he said, "We got married right out of high school." And he said, "We've been married 20 years. And said, she told me this week she moved out, said she don't want to ever see me again. He said, it's totally over. I don't know what I'm going to do." And all of a sudden, there was a car that came up and bumped the tent with its front bumper. A woman came out of there, and when she did, she threw herself on that guy in the altar. He said, "This is her." She said, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." Said, "The devil just took it." She said, "I want to live with you until we're old and we die." I don't know what kind of report you got, but my question is, whose report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the report of your flesh? Every day, Abraham's flesh said, "You're too old." Every day, Sarah's flesh said, "You're too old." They considered not the deadness of their own bodies, but they believed the word of God. God's got a miracle, somebody in this building right now. You're standing on the precipice, and somebody is saying to you, or your flesh is saying to you, or the devil is saying, "It's as good as dead." It doesn't matter if it's as good as dead, because Jesus said, "I am the resurrection." Somebody in this building right now has got somebody that owes you money. And this week, they said they're not going to pay you, but this week they're going to pay you. It's as good as dead, but God's going to make it live. Praise God. Is that you, brother? Is that you? Do we have time for you to run down here, just touch my hand and agree and say, "In the name of Jesus, the money's coming that's owed to me. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, I believe you're going to get that money this week. In Jesus' name." Hallelujah. I call it done, my brother, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. People all over this building have got things that are good as dead. And the devil wants to tell you that it's over, but it's not over. I tell you, it's not the end, it's the beginning. God has got something so fantastic planned for you. And God said, "I'm going to do it in the name of Jesus." Let me tell you another animal story. I don't know why I'm telling you all these animal stories. A friend of mine, I was with him preaching for him, and he said, "Steve," he said, "I got a problem." He said, "My best horse is worth $100,000. and said, it's very sick. I had the veterinarian come out, and he diagnosed it with a disease, and he said, that horse is going to die, he said. He said, did you ever lay hands on a horse and pray for it? I said, not yet. Not yet. I've since done that. We went out to the barn, laid hands on that horse, and prayed for it in Jesus' name. He called me in a few days. He said, I had that same veterinarian come out and said, he said that that horse is totally healthy. And he gave me a certificate of health on that horse. I took it to my insurance company, and they insured that horse for $100,000. He called me a year later and said, that horse laid down and died. I said, what about the insurance? He said, they had to pay it because the veterinarian said when they insured it, it was in perfect condition. It was a $100,000 turnaround. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil is a thief, but God's not. The devil is a robber, but God's not. The devil is a liar, but God's not. God is telling you right now to get up and take a hold of your possession, the thing that you desire the most, the thing that you have seen, it seems like you have slipped away. Oh, I'm telling you that God is in this room right now and is here to work miracles in your life, to work miracles in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. How many people were with us when we were trying to get zoning for the building next door at City Hall? Anybody in this building was involved in that? That's been many years ago, 1982 or 3. And so they voted that we couldn't rezone that property over there to build a church on. And there was a lady that went around and she got a petition and she got a signature of everybody in this neighborhood. And they all signed it. They didn't want a church there and we couldn't rezone it. And so we went and sure enough, the zoning committee turned us down. We went back to city council. And we took everybody in our church nearly. We all just flooded that little place. And then we had a big old row. Oh, people were against the church. And they was calling me Jim Jones. I don't know what all was going on. And suddenly the woman that circulated the petition stood up and began to cry. And this is what she said. I don't know why I circulated that petition. These are nice people, and this is a nice man, and he deserves to have a church over here, and I changed my mind. And they called for a vote. It was 50-50. I think it was 4-4. And the mayor had to vote and break the tie. He voted in our behalf, and we got the zoning changed. It was as good as dead, but suddenly God turned it around. And when we got out in the courtyard right over here on Shin Oak at the City Hall, that woman came up to me. She said, I've changed my mind. I don't want that church there. I said, it's too late. It's too late. They've already voted. That's where I got my little sermon called 15 Minutes of Favor. You don't need favor for a lifetime from any one individual. You just need it for a moment. And I'm telling you that there's something in your life that you've just given up on and quit. And God said, I want you to get it back out. I want you to get it out and I want you to dust it off. Oh, praise God. Don't you know? Don't you know that Sarah had some maternity clothes back in the closet? They'd been hanging. They weren't in style. They'd been hanging there for 25 years. Praise God. One day she had to go get them back out. It's time for you to go get your maternity clothes because you're pregnant with something and God is going to birth it and is going to do that right away. You're going to see a miracle coming down the road. It's going to be a part of your fabric the rest of your life. Oh, friend, I've got things that happened to me, and they are now part of my fabric. Every time I meet a resistance, I go back and I celebrate that miracle. I say, God, you did this, and you did this, and you did this, and you did this, so I know you're going to do that. In the name of Jesus, God has got a miracle for somebody in this building that's going to be a part of your fabric the rest of the days of your life in Jesus' name. Don't give up on your dream. Don't give up on that relationship. Don't say my kids are never going to be saved. Don't say my marriage is never going to work out. My husband's never going to come to God. Let your faith roar. Let your faith be loud. Let your faith say, we're going to have a baby, Sarah. We're going to have a baby. And I want everybody to know it. even though it might be as good as dead, it simply does not matter, because I have got a Christ and a Savior that said, I have conquered not only hell and the grave, but I have conquered death. And so it might seem like you are as good as dead, but you're not. Stand up and rejoice in the Lord. Stand up and claim your miracle, whatever it is. The devil is a big old liar. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's in this building right now. And it's not just one brother that's going to get a financial miracle. There are people all over this building that are going to have things to turn around in your life. And if you believe that and you need that, I challenge you to rush this altar and say, in the name of Jesus, I am claiming that which is good as dead as my living miracle in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God, Brother Eric. In Jesus' name. It might be as good as dead, but that doesn't matter, because God is greater. God is greater in the name of the Lord Jesus.